Welcome to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf here with Thomas Drantz. I'm filling in for Jamie Dodd today, who was on the morning show. I actually don't know who is he filling in for on the morning show. One of those guys.
No, both of them. Izzy was the other co-host.
Oh, both of them.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yeah. So it was my boss and my co-host doing the morning show.
Yeah.
But welcome to Canucks Talk. Welcome back. You always do a steady job driving the car. Always have a blast doing the show with you.
Happy to be here.
And we got a 4-day run. We got some time to stretch our legs, build some chemistry.
Yeah. And then immediately lose it. But we'll have it for 4 days. It'll be fine. We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of 5-star Google reviews. Sore feet. What are you waiting for? And you can text in 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their 3 locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. A lot to get into today. We'll have Pete Blackburn on the show at 12:30. But before we get to that, it's time for the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
News aplenty for the Vancouver Canucks today. On the ice, they're practicing right now, I believe. We should hear from Rick Tocchet shortly. But a lot of news on the ice, off the ice as well. Do you want to start with the Hronek LTIR situation?
Yeah, let's get into that in lineup notes. I think we got to start with the big headline, which is no JT Miller.
Yes.
Okay. No JT Miller at Canucks practice today. Expected, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Expected Rick Dhaliwal reporting over at Donnie and Dolly, our frenemies. Frenemy of the show, Rick Dhaliwal, reporting that JT Miller is skating, but away from the team, was not with them at practice on Thursday. That implies that his absence will stretch to 8 games when the Canucks face host Columbus at Rogers Arena on Friday evening. So that I feel like is the big news. We're still waiting to have a sense of, you know, look, we're not going to find out what's going on unless Miller decides to disclose it on his return, mm-hmm. right? Like, realistically, we're not going to have much in terms of, you know, like 360 degree situational awareness of exactly what's going on there unless Miller decides to disclose it. Fair enough. But Tocchet will speak after practice. Hopefully there's some additional details on a timeline. The fact that Miller's back skating, even if he hasn't joined the team yet, would seem to be a positive indicator that hopefully this absence doesn't get to 15 games, even if it might get to 10.
Rick Dhaliwal reporting, as you mentioned, that JT Miller skating, doesn't know if he's going to play tomorrow. He added that as well. But you're right. It does feel like, hey, if he's skating, this is a 6-game homestand stretching over a couple weeks. It would likely be that you see him at some point on this homestand. But again, we have no idea.
No idea
what's going on with this. And
perhaps Tocchet will shed a little bit more light when he speaks to the media.
Hopefully. To add on to stuff surrounding JT Miller, Elliot Friedman in the written 32 thoughts up at sportsnet.ca had a little bit of a note on JT Miller. He said, other stuff to keep an eye on. This is thought 16, by the way, if you want to go find it yourself. Other stuff to keep an eye on. I do not believe JT Miller has asked for a trade. It is a huge vote of confidence in his game that Team USA took him as planned, even though he is on hiatus. So you could probably look at that as a bright side as well if you are expecting JT Miller to return to the lineup in some form of short order. The fact that he was named to Team USA, not a surprise, but just that he was part of that team. And then obviously there's been some scuttlebutt about JT Miller's name in trade rumors. I believe Darren Dreger had something about it yesterday as well. But Elliot Friedman saying he does not believe he has asked for a trade. So that's what's going on with JT Miller. The latest essentially being he's skating right now, but we still don't really know what's going on, and the timeline remains a little foggy, as it's been in Vancouver lately.
Yeah, the other big news of practice, Thatcher Demko, full participant, right?
Yes.
Full participant. Seelov's not with the main group.
Dan Murphy reporting that he thinks he skated beforehand. Practice.
But the main thing being that Seelov's appears to have been relegated to third goaltender status for Canucks practice. This team has a tendency to play the way they practice. That often includes their plans in goal. Could Demko be in the lineup tomorrow? We'll hear more from Rick Tocchet shortly. It might be his season debut, but I also wonder, could Demko be close enough to back up? Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll get into some of the lineup stuff shortly, but this team is facing a pretty significant crunch, just generally in terms of filling out their 23-man roster. And, you know, sending Shelov's salary down to the American League, especially given that he's waiver exempt, would be one way to, you know, sort of ameliorate it to some extent.
And I will say they were, from everyone at practice covering practice today, there were a lot of positive reports regarding Thatcher Demko, the way he was moving. Quadrelli posted a video of him going cross crease and making a good save. So read into that as you will. But it does feel like he's close. I love a good practice video where it's like, oh man, he did something he normally does, and it's good. It's like a good sign.
Well, in Demko's case, doing stuff he normally does would be a welcome, you know, relief given that he's yet to play this season. Should we move to the broadsheet part portion and talk Nils Höglander?
Yes. So to add on to Elliot Friedman in the written 32 thoughts, thought 18 we move on to now. he says, I think Pittsburgh has real interest in Nils Höglander. And then adds, meanwhile, the Penguins have shoppers for Drew O'Connor. But he doesn't add anything else regarding Nils Höglander. It's one sentence. I think Pittsburgh has real interest in Nils Höglander, period.
Yeah, I mean, this fits with, you remember when they made the Jake Guentzel trade and a lot of the reaction was like, they didn't get a first, but they got all these, you know, recent second round picks of the Carolina Hurricanes that were trending really well, mm-hmm. really prioritized young, more nearly NHL level talent versus, you know, draft pick capital. The way you'd expect a rebuilding team to do it. I don't think the Penguins are a classic rebuilding team. I think they're trying to do a more thoughtful version of what the Canucks did in the tail end of the Sedin era, right? Like, this is the Jim Benning approach, just hopefully executed with, you know, more success and more thought and presumably try to do it with less long-term damage. Leave yourself with less to untangle. Of course, by the way, it is the three-year anniversary of the Canucks cleaning house and firing both Jim Benning and Travis
Green. 3 years ago today. Pour one out, guys.
So to celebrate, let's compare what the Penguins are doing to what the Canucks tried to do back then.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think that's, you know, very much in line with what their approaches and their thought processes. They, you know, they like Braden Jaeger, but if they can trade Braden Jaeger for an older prospect in Rutger McGroarty, they're going to do it. If they, you know, are able to trade a Marcus Pettersson and instead of getting a first round pick are able to get a promising young guy that can help them now and in the future and has term and cost certainty on his deal like Nils Höglander, you can understand why they'd be thrilled to land a player like Höglander is. So all of that makes sense to me. All of that tracks. You know, I doubt it's the first time that these organizations have had a conversation about this player. And we know what Höglander's usage has trended to be in Vancouver of late. Like, we can tell that he's struggling, and he's struggling to build trust with Rick Tocchet. And after a strong start to the season, a fabulous camp, you know, earning a 3-year extension from the club, he's been on the periphery. He hasn't done the Pugh Suter thing. He hasn't done the Jake DeBrusk thing where you seize the opportunity created by some of Vancouver's key absences and sort of step up your game. So, you know, I it makes sense that there's speculation, but it also makes sense that there's interest. And, you know, as names get reported by the likes of Friedman and Kevin Weeks about which teams are interested, like, one thing that would give me pause is the fact that it's all the sharps. It's all the, like, Carolina would love Nils Höglander. Washington Capitals would love Nils Höglander. Kyle Dubas, big Nils Höglander fan. It's like, oh, man, I don't love that.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, it's like, if you're a coach and if you as a team feel like you're out on a player, at a certain point, it's like, well, if these are the guys that are into him, and you know they're going to be into them because they are sharp and they kind of view it with a mind that they can rehabilitate Nils Höglander, they're also probably going to give you the most in a return. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I just think, first of all, I don't think the organization's out on Höglander anyway. And mm-hmm. the Tocchet thing, clearly Höglander has some work to do to rebuild trust with Rick Tocchet. He gave him a fair bit of it early in the season. You know, that got violated on a lackadaisical back check against the Carolina Hurricanes, and Höglander's usage hasn't spiked back up. But given this kid's work rate, you know, given what I know and understand about his focus, his discipline, the way that he maintains his fitness level, all of that, I'd be pretty shocked if we're talking about a situation that's that bears more than superficial similarities to like the Sprong Kuzmenko situations of the past. Like, I think this is one where Hoglander actually can come back from this doghouse that he appears to have erected for himself lately.
And we've kind of seen him do it here in the past too, right? Like, yeah, he's gone in and out of the doghouse. It did feel like last game, to his credit, he played a lot more. Did feel like he had earned some of the trust back from Rick Tocchet. He was playing in late minutes in the game. But that being said, it kind of has to be a trend before you fully buy in that he's gained that trust back.
Well, and it takes time. I mean, I'd point to Connor Garland even, right? And look, we know Connor Garland's a Rick Tocchet favorite, is made fun of by his teammates for being a Rick Tocchet favorite. And let's be real, until this season, Garland was pretty scrupulously like 15-minute-a-night guy. It was only in the playoffs last year that he even started to really play top 6 minutes under Rick Tocchet. He'd coached him for like 100 games
mm-hmm.
by the point that happened. And now we're seeing him, I mean, on this most recent Canucks road trip, we saw him playing 24 minutes a night. Like, we saw him be not just a first liner, but the number one forward, the number one most used forward by this team. So, you know, these things ebb and flow over the course of a season. I personally am not turning the light out by any means, not just on Hoglander as a player. Obviously, I'm not turning the light out on Hoglander as a player, but I'm not turning the light out either on Hoglander's ability to win back the trust of Rick Tocchet and find his role increasing over the balance of the campaign.
It is interesting.
I don't think the Canucks are out on that either, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like they wouldn't have signed him to the extension if they were out on that, right? Like, that doesn't change in a month.
Or they would have already done a deal with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, like, anyway, will be fascinating to track. A big test coming up on Friday. Hoglander likely to play in the top 9 again based on how they lined up at practice.
To continue with reports about Canucks and potential trade interest, Rick Dhaliwal on Donnie and Dolly also mentioning that the Canucks called on Chris Kreider, but is guessing the Canucks are on his no trade list, which is not surprising.
Too bad, though. Chris Kreider's fun as heck.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like really big human beings who skate fast and score goals? I do. Personally, that's something I quite think I think is fun to watch. Let's get to the lineup.
Yes.
And here's where we'll handle the LTI.
Okay.
So the Canucks have executed a series of transactions here today and yesterday. First, they reassigned Max Sasson, which obviously was a tolling cap space move, much in line with what we've seen from this club over the course of the entire season, frankly, right? They've been tolling daily cap space while they remain outside of LTI, and they did it again yesterday on returning home from the road. Max Sasson went down. Now, today, Patrick Alvin announced the following roster moves per the club. They recalled Jonathan Lekaramäki and Cole McWard from Abbotsford, and it's interesting that they've put this in sequence, too. So you recall those two guys. Then they place Philip Peronik on LTI retroactively and call up Max Sasson following that move. So again, when you're using LTI, you want to capture the maximum amount. LTI space is a complicated device. When you go on LTI or when a player goes on LTI, the team doesn't just like, it's not like it is in old armchair GM mode on Cap Friendly where their cap hit just disappears from the books. The LTI space that you actually gain is contingent on how close you actually are to the upper limit of the salary cap, right? When you place the player on LTI. So the Canucks filled their roster to the brim, got as close to the cap as they could, and then threw Philip Peronik on LTI to maximize their flexibility here. They then recalled Max Sasson again. Now, there is a difference between being on LTI, which Philip Peronik is, and being in LTI from a team's perspective. The Canucks currently are in LTI, and I want to just say, like, I feel kind of bad for the club and sort of various administrators that have planned out this season and constructed this team, in part because, I mean, you think about the Pullman deal and getting Brännström back, you think about the discipline with which they, you know, hung tough in negotiations with Kevin Lankinen, you know, were pretty careful about the way that they proportioned money in free agency, right? Held firm in talks with Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, you know, all the work that they've done to manage term and really untangle the cap mess that they inherited, which was honestly worse than the on-ice mess that they inherited. And even that was significant. And you get to this point where they're tolling daily cap space and they're really trying to operate with the long view in mind and give themselves as much ammunition cap-wise as they can to upgrade this team before the trade deadline, right? And we've seen them manage it and go men short during days off, on and on. And right now, when you've got JT Miller at $8 million, who's on injured non-roster, his $8 million still counting against the cap. Now you've got Filip Hronek, that's another $7.5 million. Demko hasn't played all year. He's $5 million. He's been injured non-roster since the beginning of the season. Derek Forbert has missed an awful lot of time. $1.5 million also has remained on the cap. We're talking $20 million. We're talking about a quarter of the team's cap space that is out of the lineup. This team designed a way to maximize their cap flexibility and toll daily space throughout the season as well as you could, right? Really strong, sharp stuff from this Canucks hockey operations department. And just, look, this is the slings and arrows of outrageous hockey misfortune. Like, they've just run into a critical mass of injuries that have caused them to have to, you know, effectively come to a plan B. Hronek on LTI means that while they are in LTI, utilizing that LTI space to have a full roster, they can't toll daily space. So that will stop while Hronek is in LTI, or while the team is in LTI with Hronek on LTI. Hronek can remain on LTI, however, and they can toll daily space down the line if they get out of utilizing that space. So that's sort of where the Canucks sit with all the various roster machinations. Cole McWard, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, club's been really high on what he can contribute. He lined up on the fourth pair at practice today, which would imply that he will not play on Friday. But I think there's a lot of interest in seeing if he can give them some push from the back end. Club is very, very high on this player, even though he hasn't had the strongest season for an Abbotsford Canucks team that has really struggled in the goal prevention department. In terms of practice lines, really nothing surprising. The club practiced effectively as they ended the game in Minnesota with Hoglander, Bluger, Sherwood, for example, on the third line. Sasson remaining on the fourth line. Lekkerimäki, an extra body at practice. And Friedman and McWard remaining the third pair. So same lines that they finished the game with. But Demko may be back. So that's sort of the big lineup update from all of the Canucks roster moves and what they showed us at practice on Thursday.
And also no Quinn Hughes at practice too, but right, believed to be a maintenance day. Derek Forbert was skating in a non-contact jersey in his place. So obviously a placeholder there for Quinn Hughes. And we'll see how far away Derek Forbert is as well.
Club's been pretty hopeful that he's not too far away. And I think they're pretty excited about the optionality that he might give Canucks coaches. You know, for example, Juulsen and Soucy have been a pretty good pair. Certainly they were effective against Minnesota. You know, if Forbert comes back and if Myers and Soucy continue to play better apart, frankly, right, than they had together, plus you have to play Myers on the top pair right now, or at least that's how they're doing it at the moment. You know, Forbert giving the club another big-bodied option to just give the coaches flexibility to try different things on the second pair. I think that's something the club's pretty excited about getting back into the lineup.
A few texts, 650, 650, surrounding the LTIR situation for the Vancouver Canucks. This one, have you guys talked about the Shelov's absence yet and wonders if the LTIR is Vancouver getting ready for a trade? So I think a lot of people's first instinct when they saw Hronek go on LTIR was like, oh, LTIR, that means they can make a trade. The thing about that is Hronek's going
to
be back.
You have to activate him. You have to have the space. Now, there is an element to which putting him on LTI, and like, there's a reason that the clubs did the McWard and Lekkerimäki call-ups, and then, right?
Yeah, because it got them as close to the cap as possible.
And also, the other part of this is both are on entry-level contracts, I believe, right? McWard's on an entry-level deal still, I'm pretty confident.
Yes.
So they have bonuses, right? And that's the other thing. Like, when you put a player on maybe I shouldn't get into this. It's probably a little bit too nerdy even for our audience. But, oh no, McWard is on his second contract, so there's no bonuses there. But with Lekkerimäki, you're effectively taking a snapshot when you activate LTI or when you use LTI. Having Lekkerimäki's bonuses in effectively creates two salary pools, just easier to administer for the team, especially given some of the other options like Arshdeep Bains, who have ELCs that tend to include bonuses. So, yes, the reason that you structure it like that, though, is to give yourself the flexibility to pounce on something, right? Should it present? Now, you might create another problem, but a good problem to have if you're able to land talent and bolster sort of the state of this hockey club. But yeah, this is not a Sagan situation where the Canucks can feel pretty confident that Hronik's out for the entirety of the regular season and you can load up for the playoffs and that's space to play with. Hronik's going to come back, and when Hronik comes back, the club is going to have to be able to activate him and will want to do so immediately, as quickly as they can.
The other part of this that we're getting some texts on, wondering kind of about the accrual of cap space. And so just to clarify, if, for example, JT Miller, Thatcher Demko come back and the Canucks are able to send two players down, let's say, or three, whatever it is, they can still accrue cap space as long as they're under the total salary cap.
So long as they're not in LTIA.
Yes. Even though, like, Hronik's on LTIR, you can still accrue cap space as long as they're not stretching above the salary cap.
That's my understanding. So long as they're, so again, on LTI versus in LTI. On LTI is something that a player can be. In LTI is something that a team is or isn't. And while the Canucks are in LTI, that's when they're not accruing cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
We did it!
Love LTI talk.
Yes.
So, really quickly, should we do anything? No, I mean, we don't need to touch on the playoff odds. They're unchanged. The Canucks are making the playoffs. The Western playoff picture is mostly set. Gambling odds-wise, just to close out the whiteboard here, today, the Canucks face the Columbus Blue Jackets. This Blue Jackets team, I'm serious. Not only are they sort of pesky.
That's a good word. They're plucky.
They're plucky for sure. But I also think they're fun. Like, this is a fun team to watch play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to watching Voronkov. Speaking of giant human beings that skate fast and score, I'm excited to watch Voronkov. I'm excited to watch Marchenko. I'm excited to watch the Wizard of Port Moody, Kent Johnston, play tomorrow.
The Wizard of Port Moody.
Heck yeah. Anyway, the Columbus Blue Jackets are plus 200 dogs. Canucks minus 245 on the money line. I would be hesitant. Even though I think the Canucks will win, I would be hesitant to mash that. That, I think, undervalues Columbus, even though they are going to be playing, you know, the third game in four nights in the second leg of a back-to-back. Over-under set at 6.
Hmm.
Maybe don't touch that till you know Demko's status.
Blue Jackets playing 3 of 4. I was actually looking at the schedule for the 6-game road trip for the Canucks, and maybe we can get into this a bit later or tomorrow as the road trip goes on, but there aren't a lot of schedule gifts for the Canucks on this in terms of teams coming in. Like, this is a big one for them, but other than that, it's like, hey, the Lightning, when they come here on Sunday, it's the first game of a road trip for them. They play tonight, but they have the next 2 days off.
Well, and they're holding Kucherov out, but we'd expect to see him on Sunday.
Also, 1 o'clock game, which is just always weird. And then
I love it. Good for the kids.
It is good. Yeah. It is good. And if you're doing the double feature, the Canucks and then Taylor Swift. That's a big day for some people.
Yeah, good for you guys. Anyone pulling that off, you're my hero.
Yeah, and then the Blues as well. Their final game of a 4-game Western Canada road trip. But even that's like kind of stretching it. And then everybody else, like, they play the Panthers. They play the Avalanche. And then I'm missing a team in there. But they play another team as well. And there's just not...
Florida?
I said Panthers.
Okay,
there's another team. It's the... the Bruins. Bruins. There's not a lot of gifts schedule-wise in there for the Canucks, so I feel like this is going to be a really good test of who they are as a team moving forward the 6-game homestand.
Or at least who they are in the significant absences they're working through.
650, keep the text coming in. On the other side, we're going to talk to Pete Blackburn about what's going on around the NHL, maybe get in some Four Nations talk as well. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drantz on Sportsnet 650.